Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. You gotta love running a business here in California. The sun, the beach, the mountains, the snow. I could even get to a foreign country in about 2 hours. Oh yeah, the taxes. On everything, frankly. And now a new law signed into effect called AB 5, now codified as the Labor Code 2750.3. Wow, that sounds really important. Which governs the reclassification of the independent contractor employment status here in California. Yikes! And I'm one of those folks, so I'm really interested in today's show. So today at the cafe, I'm not going to answer these questions, but ask the questions. But I've got experts to break this down, maybe put it in plain English and answer some of the burning questions you may have from both the employee and the employer side of the fence. With me is Ilani Quare, CEO of Be The Change HR, Brendan Ford and Christopher DiUlio, partners at the law firm Ford and DiUlio, to tackle today's hot topics. Lady and gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Let's take a brief moment to introduce yourself, and Leilani, I'll let you go first.
Awesome. So Leilani Quare, CEO of Be The Change HR. We do human resources for small business, and we also help people get back to work with free job coaching and then free job readiness classes.
So, Christopher DiUlio, partner at Ford and DiUlio, 16-year lawyer, specializing in business disputes and employment issues, which there are, as you alluded to, Angelo, a lot of in California.
Hi, thank you for having me. Brendan Ford, partner at Ford and DiUlio. We also handle business and employment, both on the front end in terms of counseling employers and employees on what they should do, and if litigation happens, handling it on the back end.
All right, thank you. As you can tell, we've got a cast of thousands here in the studio today, so this ought to be really interesting. So I'm going to forego some of the normal questions that I ask because this is a hot topic and we've got a lot of conversation going on. So we're going to jump right into it and define for you, you listeners, what the heck this law is all about and how is it going to impact you as an independent contractor. Brendan.
Yes, thank you, Angelo. So the distinction between an independent contractor and employee is an important one in California. On the one hand, if you're an employee, the employer has the responsibility of paying Social Security, payroll tax, unemployment insurance, state employment taxes, workers' compensation, and most important for purposes of this, complying with the state and federal laws concerning wages, hours, and the conditions of employment. This was codified in a case called Dynamex, which I encourage everyone who owns a business in California to read, and that ultimately was codified further by the legislature in AB 5, which ultimately adopted the what the Supreme Court said in Dynamex.
Okay. So, Chris, what are the pieces of this? And I know I've heard this described once before as, you know, the plumber's test or the smell test that you have to pass kind of three stages in order to qualify as an independent contractor. So might we, let's break that down a little bit and talk about the elements of AB 5 and where we think most employers and employees will have more difficulty passing that test.
Sure. So, you know, starting with what we've alluded to already, obviously taxes are a big deal to the state, and this impacts that. It's often beneficial for the employee and the employer to be a 1099, to be a contractor, and pay less in taxes. The state has strong feelings about that for a variety of reasons, but let's talk about the elements. And we often refer to it as lawyers, the ABC test. And again, as Brendan said, I encourage everybody to read Dynamex, but like most legal opinions, it's lengthy, and there's a lot of jargon, and there's a lot of words, and it may be tough to decipher. But the test itself is very straightforward. There are three elements. The first is for an independent contractor, not an employee. And again, let me just start with the presumption is that a person working for someone else is an employee. So you have to start from that basis, that as an employer, you have to prove that the person isn't a contractor. The assumption is going to be they're an employee. The first of the ABC test, the first element is that the person has to be free from the control and direction of the hiring entity, of the employer. That's tough. That's vague. That's, again, you have a plumber and the person comes to your house and they're replacing a sink. If you tell them how to do it, now you've given control and direction. It very, very vague, very, very tough, but that's the first step.
Well, let me interrupt for a second, because that really creates an interesting dynamic, because if like one of my clients, for example, starts dictating when I should show up, things that I should do, then all of a sudden I lose my independent or my independent contractor position, and I start becoming an employee.
Correct. Right. And I give this example to clients all the time. You hire somebody to trim the trees in your backyard. That's fine. You tell them, hey, this tree, I want you to trim it. You probably haven't given too much control or direction. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but you probably haven't passed that test. You start telling them, hey, I want it to be sort of in a rounded shape. And these limbs, I want those chopped off. All of a sudden, you may be crossing the line to giving real control and direction. And that's what all employers have to be wary of. The idea is, and again, start with the presumption. The presumption is, under the law, that a person working for you is an employee, and you need to overcome that. And one of the ways you do it is show that you're not giving control or direction. And the second step, which sort of leads to this, is the person performs work outside the usual course of the hiring entities of the employer's business. If I run a plumbing business and I hire somebody to fix a sink, that person's, they're in the same business. They're going to be an employee. I run a florist and I hire somebody to fix a sink. Okay, now that's more likely that person's going to be an independent contractor because they're engaged in a different business. And go ahead.
I'm going to jump in because I've been an independent contractor and had my own business for a long time. And so I'm working for a manufacturing company that sells widgets, and they hire me to do marketing on their behalf. Well, their business is not marketing, their business is these widgets. So in that case, am I still an independent, or do I become an employee because of Brendan?
Well, that's one of the really interesting issues that's come up here is defining. So the second, the B that Chris alluded to, was that the worker performs work that's outside the usual scope. And the reason that's important is how you define your business and how the independent contractor defines his or her business is a key element. And I'll give you the example. You know, the classic example is Uber. Uber is part of the gig economy. I'm sure we're going to talk more about that later, because AB5 has drastic ramifications for the gig economy. But in courts, you know, they've said that, look, our drivers are engaged in a driving business. They are transportation businesses. And we as Uber are not. We are a tech company. And so they're trying to say that there's difference. So under that B portion of AB5, they wouldn't be there. Now, some courts have accepted that. Some have rejected that. It's kind of all over the place right now. But one of the key things is figuring out how to define very specifically what you do as your business and what the independent contractor does as his or her business, and making sure that they're not the same, because if it in any way, shape, or form can be linked as similar, then you're likely going to satisfy that B, because, again, as Chris alluded to, the presumption is that you are an employee unless you satisfy all of these to show that you're not.
Okay. And I think in my readings, this is kind of the area that's I'll call it really gray, because it really is a kind of back and forth between the employer and the employees. So, Leilani, so given all this, does this fall into HR's purview to kind of vet out and work with management to make sure that these contractors are either employees or not employees?
Yeah, I think now is the time, if not, it should have been done some time ago, to evaluate your workers and make sure that your 1099s are classified properly. You can do that in-house, but I would strongly encourage anyone to go to legal counsel, because that will be protected, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, under attorney-client privilege, if it's found in discovery that they do have people who are classified improperly, that they can take the steps and measures with legal counsel and then with help of human resources.
All right, fantastic. Hey, we've got some callers that are really anxious to ask a few questions. So, Paul, can we go to caller number one?
Hi, this is Malia. And my home health company, where I'm a 1099 physical therapy assistant, asked me to apply for a DBA and also get a business license. I was wondering, would that satisfy the requirements under the new law?
Chris, you want to take that?
Sure, yeah, I'll take that. And we've seen a lot of this with clients coming up. The notion is you can avoid some of the ramifications of AB5 and Dynamex by simply having your, what would otherwise be an employee, frankly, incorporate, obtain a business license. That may meet some of the requirements, but it's not going to get you around the ABC test. If you're still engaged in the same business as the employer, if you're still at the control and direction of that employer, if you're involved in the same, again, the same business, and you don't have an independent trade, you're not working for other people, you're going to fail the test under AB5. And so it's a cute way around it, but that alone isn't going to be enough. The mere fact that you have a license, the mere fact that you're setting up a separate entity, that's just not going to be enough under this test. You need to meet all of the elements, and you have to meet all of them. It's not like a test that's an or, where you can meet one or two of them. You have to meet all of them.
That's a really good point.
Right.
I'm sorry for jumping in, but I don't think we actually got to C yet.
We didn't, yeah.
And I want to make sure we get C in there. We got A and we've got B. This is a test, everybody out there. A, B, here we go, C.
All right, and C is the person, the employee or contractor, is engaged in independently established trade, occupation, or business. And again, we use the plumber example because it's really straightforward, right? If you're a plumber and you go out and you're fixing people's sinks all over the county, okay, that's an independent business. If you are working for one single person and that's all you do, you fix the plumbing at all the facilities of a single entity, you're going to be an employee, and that's that test. You have to be engaged in sort of an independent business.
Okay. All right. So let's say we do this and I'm hired. I don't want to use me. I don't want anybody calling me up. So and my friend gets hired as an independent contractor and it's deemed he should have been an employee. Who becomes the responsible person for paying the taxes, for any penalties that happen from the state? Because the state wants the money, so we know they're going to penalize somebody. Brendan?
Yes. It's very clearly the employer, and the employer is going to be subjected to a number of problems. California has robust labor code violations, and one of the biggest hammers that the plaintiff's bar has in order to enforce those is what we call an attorney's fees clause. So normally speaking, when you are in a lawsuit with another party, each person pays his or her own attorney's fees. However, that can be abrogated either through statute or by contract, and here the statutes that for the California Labor Code that exists provide for attorney's fees. So if you're an employer and you misclassify someone as an independent contractor as opposed to an employee, not only will you have to pay whatever penalties are stated mm-hmm. in the California Labor Code, but you're also going to have to pay for the attorney's fees for suing you. So it's, you have to get your cake and eat it too in the worst way possible.
Wow. And it sounds like potentially, depending on how much you're abusing it, I mean, these are huge impacts on the bottom line, which for small and medium-sized businesses, I mean, literally could put you out of business.
Unquestionably. If you've got a number of employees, 50, 100, and you're not classifying your employees properly, you're going to have the damages, the amounts that you were supposed to pay that you didn't, the penalties and the fees, that could put you out of business. This is a very significant thing that every employer has to consider.
Okay. Hey, we've got another caller, so let's go to our next caller.
Hi, Angelo. This is Teresa Fritzler from Fritzler Design. I'm a graphic designer, art director, been in business a while as an independent contractor. Not sure how this is all going to affect me, but I have seen a couple of the clients I'd like to work with telling me that they're now going to work with staffing agencies only. Kind of curious about that, if that's a trend. Is that because of this new law? Just in general, my business is a little bit slow. I don't know if it's because I don't like to do new business development or because of this new law. Curious about that, myself. Anyhow, that's my question.
All righty. Brendan, you want to take that?
I would. Thank you. So One of the things that's interesting about AB 5 is that it includes a number of exemptions for specific types of work. One of the exemptions, which is specifically mentioned in your caller's question, is graphic designers. So graphic designers are exempt under AB 5. And so to kind of anticipate the next question, what can people do? It's very important to review the different categories of industries that are exempt from AB 5. Okay. And I can tell you that there have been a number of industry associations. I know for a fact that the Travel Agents Association and a number of others have lobbied very hard to make sure that they're exempt from AB 5 because they feel that the ramifications are quite draconian in terms of their industry and go-forward basis.
Well, that makes sense, too. And most travel agents are dealing with multiple providers, so that's not any one individual. Can we... I've got a list here, but I'll let you guys read off this list real quick. Any particular categories that come to mind of employees that are exempt?
I think everyone in this room is one of those, correct?
we hope
that's
so.
That's true, Leilani.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, there we go. Show's over. All right. Well, that's good.
Very briefly, there is an enumerated list. If you read AB 5, it includes every single category of people that are of employee or I guess worker that's exempt from AB 5. But it's the professions, so you know, doctors, lawyers, architects, engineers, real estate agents, graphic designers, fine artists, aestheticians, barbers, tutors, etc. So, you know, it's very important for anyone who wants to make sure that they address these types of issues to ensure that they review AB 5 so that they make sure, you know, if they're exempt from it, then they don't have to worry about this issue.
Right. And one of the ways for employers to consider this, generally, if you have an independent license, you're regulated by the state, you're more likely to be on that exempt list. Okay. And so sort of think about that. And if you have employees or contractors who don't have independent licenses, you got to be thinking your antenna are going up. You're more likely to be an employee than a contractor.
Okay. And Leilani, in working with your clients, I mean, is this a topic that's coming up already and that you're having to provide a lot of counsel? And are they coming to you for what advice do they come to you for versus going to these gentlemen?
I'll tell you, before AB 5, before Dynamex, this is always a discussion that we have with our clients. Often I see people in classified properly all the time. So this is from the beginning of my career that we independent contractors may not be, they may actually be employees. Mm-hmm. And so it's always something that we're going to look at. It's always a question that I'm going to have for them. Do you have 1099s? How many? What do they do? And then maybe from that point, we might take a closer look.
Okay. All right. I think we got another caller.
The question I have about the new law is, I am a small business and rely heavily on a lot of independent contractors, such as graphic designers and content coordinators. So I am curious as to how this will impact my business in the new year, given the new law that has or will be passed, and what I specifically need to know as a small business owner who does rely on these independent contractors, what is or is no longer realistic or capable within this new law.
All right, who wants to take that one?
Yeah,
Chris?
So I'll take that. And, you know, the catchword here is vigilance. You know, you've got to keep up with what the people who work for you are doing and how they're classified and how the law is evolving. AB 5 and Dynamex were a progression from what's been happening over the last 15 years or so. And so there's been a definite trend towards the state more aggressively defining workers as employees. And you ought to keep on top of it. If you've got people who are working for you and they fit in one of the enumerated exemptions, take some comfort, but monitor those, because those can go away. In fact, some of them, commercial fishermen, manicurists, those are expiring in 2022, 2023. Mm. And so you got to keep an eye on it. This is an evolving area. And so what we counsel our clients every year is vigilance. Every year, reevaluate who you have working for you, because the cost of noncompliance can be extensive, not just from the employee, then later, you know, bringing a lawsuit or seeking, you know, unpaid wages or overtime or payroll taxes. The state can seek those taxes and fees, or third parties. If you have an independent contractor who's misclassified and should have been an employee, and that person does something to hurt someone else, you could end up in a lawsuit where you're being sued by a third party who's going to try and hold you liable because that person should have been an employee. So there's a variety of mechanisms in which you as the employer can get caught on this. And so vigilance is the key.
All right.
To keep on top of it.
All right, fantastic. Well, as I said before we started, this thing is going to come down to a final wrap-up. So let's do this. Let's go around. I'm going to start with you, Brendan. Let's just sum it up. Give a brief advice to my listeners about what they should be doing.
Certainly. Thank you. Now, what I think is probably three things. One, they should very, very carefully define what their business is versus what the independent contractors do, because that B portion of AB 5 is the one that I think is going to create the most litigation on a go-forward basis in terms of are you a tech company or are you a rideshare company, et cetera, et cetera. The second is to ensure that you are constantly, to kind of piggyback on what Chris said, be vigilant and not just establish a series of rules and regulations on day one and then forget about them. The law is constantly evolving. I guarantee that there are going to be tons of cases on a go-forward basis that are going to discuss this and explain, because a number of these rules are extremely vague. And then the third thing is just making sure that you take precautions. And for employers, those include class action waivers, arbitration agreements, et cetera, to protect yourself as much as possible under this new regime.
All right, fantastic. Leilani, do you want to sum up any comments?
I always know that employers, they get annoyed by these new laws that are coming out. And I try to reframe their mind that we have to do the right thing.
Okay. All right. So we're out of time. So let's do this. Let's do a round robin. Chris, I'm going to go to you to talk about how the audience can reach you guys and learn more about your firm.
Sure. So we're Ford DeUlio, and you can reach us. Our website's www.ford.com. You can reach me at kdiulio@ford.com.
Leilani?
Check out our website at bethechangehr.org. And if you like inspiration, Instagram at bethechangehr.
All right. Well, lady and gentlemen, thank you so much. This has been really educational. I think we needed about 4 more hours to actually get through all this. I do have one final question. You kept telling the audience, read it. Where do they find it?
On the website, if you put AB-5, you'll find it at legislature.ca.gov.
All right, fantastic. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening today and joining us at the cafe. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to the show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to ask others to subscribe as well so they can benefit from this great content like you heard today. And going forward, you can go to thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, or you can find us on any major podcast platform around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. And thank you to all of you.
Thank you, Angelo, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.